Hello, this is the English program broadcasting from Liverpool, yes, in England. And this little podcast thing here is the Pemberley Boo. It's been a while since we've done one of these, folks. We do apologise, been terribly busy with our move back to Liverpool. And now we've finally settled here, we can sort of pick up some of the things we were doing back in Spain. Now, the Pemberley Boo, we haven't done one of these, according to my records, since the 11th of May. So it is back. You can follow all of the episodes so far by going to the hashtag Pemberley Boo, P-E-M-B-E-R-L-E-Y, Boo. That's a hashtag for this particular series. And we're sort of on chapter 4, and we've started to label the episodes according to the date. So when you sort of download them all, they'll all sort of be in order, more or less. So according to my records, this is the sort of where we're up to here. As Catherine's brain worked feverishly and creatively to figure out the connection between Wickham and the uncanny silence, she was being watched by the Lady of the House. By the way, we're doing these live, folks, and we're hoping to sort of stick to the script insofar as we can. The new Mrs. Darcy was not as unaware of Catherine's interest as she might appear. It was always her practice to watch those around her, and she had honed her skills of unperceived observation since becoming mistress of Pemberley. Lizzie knew Catherine had fixated on the mysterious Mr. Wickham, and would not rest until she uncovered the whole ghastly story. She worried a little at the impact this would have. Georgiana had yet to fully recover from the ordeal, and any mention of W still left her blushing and paling furiously. Lizzie entertained a hope that the ball would provide sufficient diversion and interaction such that Georgiana would be shaken from her trance-like state. Perchance she would even meet a suitable young man who would treat her like the delicate but fiery treasure she was. Catherine's poking and investigating could ruin all these unspoken hopes, however, and Lizzie was uncertain how to deal with the matter. If she told Catherine the story, she felt certain it would wander and grow. This was a matter that she must consult Darcy on. "Heaven only knows what he'll say when I tell him this," she thought, glancing once more at the obviously preoccupied Catherine. "Perhaps if I hint at a mystery, she'll be distracted." It was in moments such as this that Mrs. Darcy longed for the comfort of her sister Jane, but Jane and Charles were not due for hours. Because the Bingleys lived within an easy ride of Pemberley, they did not arrive until the night of the ball. If truth be told, Mrs. Bingley had not felt quite her usual self of late, and her husband had delayed their appearance. When she appeared before him in a white gown with apple-green bows, he was almost of a mind to keep her to himself and delay their ride even longer. However, his loyalty to his friend Darcy, and knowledge that his wife longed to see her family prevailed, and he reluctantly led the way to their well-upholstered carriage. Jane could not help but feel that her sister needed her at Pemberley. Even as children, Jane had known when Elizabeth had needed her help. The carriage ride seemed longer than usual, and back at Pemberley, Elizabeth busied herself with last-minute preparations for the ball until her sister arrived with Bingley in tow. We take a break. More from the Pemberley Boo tomorrow on the English program's Audio Boo. The address is audioboo.fm/English Radio.